This morning you're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter 31, text number 1. Narada instructs the Prachetas. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Matishas, मैत्रेय उवाच दत्तसुमन्त्री ज्ञाना आश्रम चलाश्रम अनंतरात्मजयारायण जस्वत्राभजन विहार मैत्रेय उवाच
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada.
Yes,
Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
The great saint Maitreya continued. After that, the Prachetas lived at home for thousands of years and developed perfect knowledge and spiritual consciousness. At last, they remembered the blessings of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and left home, putting their wife in the charge of a perfect son. After the Prachetas had finished their penances, they were blessed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord blessed them by telling them that after finishing their family life, they would return home back to Godhead in due course of time. After finishing their family life, which lasted thousands of years according to the calculations of the demigods, the Prachetas decided to leave home, putting their wife in the charge of a son named Daksha. This is the process of Vedic civilization. In the beginning of life, as a brahmachari, one has to undergo severe penances and austerities in order to be educated in spiritual values. The brahmachari or student is never allowed to mingle with women and learn from the beginning of life about sex enjoyment. The basic flaw in modern civilization is that boys and girls are given freedom during school and college to enjoy sex life. Most of the children are varna sanskara, meaning born of undesirable fathers and mothers. Consequently, the whole world is in chaos. Actually, human civilization should be based on the Vedic principles. This means that in the beginning of life, boys and girls should undergo penances and austerities. When they are grown, they should get married, live for some time at home, and beget children. When the children are grown up, the man should leave home and search for Krishna consciousness. In this way, one can make one's life perfect by going back home to the kingdom of God. Unless one practices penances and austerities in his student life, he cannot understand the existence of God. Without realizing Krishna, one cannot make his life perfect. The conclusion is that when the children are grown, the wife should be put in the children's charge. The husband may then leave home to develop Krishna consciousness. Everything depends on the development of pure knowledge. King Vachinibharishat, the father of the Prachetas, left home before the arrival of his sons, who were engaged in austerities within the water. As soon as the time is right, or as soon as one has developed perfect Krishna consciousness, he should leave home, even though all his duties may not be fulfilled. Vachinibharishat was waiting for the arrival of his sons, but following the instructions of Narada, as soon as his intelligence was properly developed, he simply left instructions for his ministers to impart to his sons. Thus, without waiting for their arrival, he left home. Giving up a comfortable home life is absolutely necessary for human beings and is advised by Prahlad Maharaj. Gigatma patam gyanam andakupam. To finish the materialistic way of life, one should leave his so-called comfortable home life, which is simply a means for killing the soul. The home is considered to be a dark well covered by grass. And if one falls within this well, he simply dies without anyone's caring. One should therefore not be too much attached to family life, for it will spoil one's development of Krishna consciousness. Om Ajnana Timanandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshara Vinamitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Maitreya Vacha Tata Upana Vijnana Asvarahokcha Jambasitam Smananta Atmajay Bharyam Vishuja Pavarjan Vihat. Yesterday, we heard a very wonderful lecture by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. He was talking about the relationship between Devahuti and her son, Kapila. Now that relationship changed over the course of their time together. Mother and son transformed into guru and disciple. And Srila Prabhupada was explaining that when one wants to understand spiritual life, when one becomes disgusted with material existence, then one needs a guru. And that guru will guide one. Just like disciple has duties, guru also has duties. Guru's duty is to extract one from this andakupam, the hell of materialistic life. And so, today's verse also deals with the same subject matter. Here we find the sons of Parchini Barisha, the Prachetas, they're leaving home. So it's not surprising that they're leaving home. So many people leave home. So why are we studying this in Srimad Bhagavatam? We're studying it because it's important how they left home. What was their consciousness? And how that led them to leave home. That is the important thing. To understand that, of course, obviously Srimad Bhagavatam is a progressive study, and so if we go back to the previous chapter, this is the first verse in this chapter, that chapter is entitled The Activities of the Prachetas. So based on the activities of the Prachetas, a certain consciousness in the Prachetas developed that was the cause of them leaving home. We have to understand both things. We can't just concentrate on the Prachetas left home. So many people leave home. Srila Prabhupada, he was particularly critical of those that come to this place. They leave home and come to this place. Sri Vrindavan Dham. But why they come here and what they do here, because it's not based on the type of activities that we find in the lives of the Prachetas, it becomes a difficult situation. One leaves one's family, someplace comes a Vrindavan, and then somehow or another, if the consciousness is not rightly situated, then another family here in Vrindavan develops. What's the use of leaving that home, that family, to come here and develop another family here? It depends on the consciousness. Both things have to be there. In philosophy of Nyaya, there's one principle that indicates faulty reasoning. Andha kukuti Nyaya. You know this? What is it? Logic of half of the hen, yes. Andha kukuti Arda kukuti Nyaya. He knows. You know that? The logic of half of the hen. The hen lays the eggs. The back part lays the eggs. So that's the profit. But the expense is the front part eating. So if you want to just take the profit without doing the feeding, then that's a faulty way to approach life. Similarly with philosophical argument, you have to accept what logically proceeds from a point. You can't just accept one and not accept what logically proceeds from it. Ardham kukuti nyaya. That's a logic of half of a hen. So when we look at life and why someone does something, we have to necessarily look at how that motivation developed, how the consciousness developed. You can't have one without the other. Both must be there. Therefore, we look back. What were the activities of the Prachantas? How did it develop to the point where they left home? What was their consciousness? This we have to understand. This is a very important point, so I'm going to give a couple of other examples in this regard. Many of the devotees sitting here today, they personally knew His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj. When I was a brahmachari, I had the fortune of traveling with him. Of course, you know that several years ago now, he left this world. And so in his final days, I went to go visit him at the Girinagari farm in America. And he was explaining at that time this same principle about how you have to look at the whole life. He was a dying man. He had realization as a dying man. And he used to say that the way you live is the way you die. We can't separate our death from how we lead our life. Especially, we all know, you all devotees of Krishna, Yam Yam Bhapi Smaram Bhagavan. You know this verse in Bhagavad Gita that how you live your life, the consciousness you develop, that will be how you go to your next life. So this, it's very important that we understand this principle that how you live your life is how you'll die, what your next destination will be. This was the example of the Prachetas. In their young life, they performed penances. And by those penances, they pleased the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, they're at this point now of leaving home. Whether we're leaving home at the end of our life, whether we're dying, whatever our circumstances may be, we should understand that our life, particularly this life in this place, is a journey. We are cultivating our next destination by the activities that we carry out today, each and every day of our lives. Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj, when he spoke about his guru, Narada Muni, he spoke this same message, that we need to be careful about how we are leading our life, because that is taking us to our next destination. He said of Narada Muni that Narada Muni had saved him from gradually gliding down to hell. And how was he gradually gliding down to hell? By following the general populace. You know this verse. By following the general populace. One gradually glides down to heaven. Janma Bhumi, Karma Bhumi. You're born in some place. That place has certain cultures, certain activities, certain norms which are accepted in society. And Karma Bhumi, therefore, you engage in your activities in that place. Either actively engage in those activities or passively engage in those activities, you are carried along by the stream of that place. Now, formally, even within our lifetime, maybe it could be said, I mean, I'm from America, maybe it could be said, well, if I was born in India, then it would have been easier for me, because that place is not gliding to hell so quickly as America. But can we say that today? I don't think so. All over the world, this degradation is happening, and people are being dragged to hell just by what goes on in society. We have to recognize this, as Prahlad Maharaj did, and as Prahlad Maharaj took shelter of a guru, we also need to take shelter of a guru. We need to guru parashraya. Take shelter of a guru who will help us chalk a different path in life than that of the general populace. Here in the purport today, Prabhupada talks about Vedic civilization. The fault of modern civilization, as well as the correct path that human society should take, the Vedic civilization. There's a wonderful example about how taking the path given by the guru helps us avoid the road to hell. And it's something that each and every one of you can perceive either today or tomorrow. So I'd like to ask you all to take this exercise. It simply involves going next door to Srila Prabhupada's samadhi. If you go to that samadhi, you'll see in there a beautiful relief that was created by our godbrother Bhaktisiddhanta Das. In that relief, on the roadside of the samadhi, Srila Prabhupada is depicted there walking. Notice his stride. His stride is very purposeful. You can see the purpose. He's walking with the purpose. The mural is entitled Ambassador from the Spiritual World. So that ambassador has come here. He's come here with a definite purpose. And that purpose is reflected in his every action. Those of you that can recall seeing Prabhupada personally in his Bapu, and those of you have seen the films that have been produced showing Srila Prabhupada, you know that he walked with a purpose. There was no question about what he was doing or what his destination was. And that's reflected in what Bhaktisiddhanta Prabhu has created there. So you should go and see that. See Prabhupada's foot, it's sticking out. I go there in the morning and I see many people put their head on Prabhupada's foot, trying to take that path. But if you step back and you watch the devotees circumambulating Prabhupada and his samadhi, look at their feet. Observe their feet and you'll see they are also walking very purposefully around Srila Prabhupada. Circumambulating. Now in one sense, where are they going? They're just going around in a circle. But they're not just going around in a circle. They are following the path chalked out by Srila Prabhupada, worshiping him by circumambulating him, but they're doing it with very purposeful strides, very purposeful steps. They've taken this path. They've decided not to glide down simply by following the general populace. They've decided to take the instruction that Srila Prabhupada is giving in this purport and apply it to their lives. Because if we don't, as Prabhupada says here in the purport, unless one practices penances and austerities in his student life, he cannot understand the existence of God. Unless we take this purposeful approach to life, that we have a goal to achieve, we have limited time to achieve it. Therefore, we have to apply ourselves very strictly to this path. Unless we take that attitude, then we may miss this valuable form of the human life. We could easily miss it. Actually, when I was a brahmachari, we used to travel, we did traveling sankirtan, and we visited different temples. And life on the road for brahmachari was a little austere. Maybe we didn't get as much rest as we should have, but we were serving Srila Prabhupada's mission. But I recall going to different temples and there may be some sannyasi there speaking or something like that. And I'd be sitting in class and all of a sudden I'd start to go to sleep. And then I would catch myself, no, I can't miss the opportunity of the association of this sannyasi. But that sleep wouldn't go away. I realized at one point when I woke up with a start at the end of the class that I missed it. I missed it, that the class is over. We don't want to be like that in life. That when the time of death comes, we're dozing. We're not actively, purposely pursuing getting out of material life, leaving home like the Pachetas are doing. We don't want to miss it, but it can be missed. It can be missed if we're not attentive. Now I know that leaving home, renouncing this world can be frightening. Even His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada said that when he was having the dreams of being called to take sannyas, he said he was horrified. Oh, he was so afraid. You know, at least that's what he said. I mean, he gave us that instruction to indicate it's hard. I don't want to give you the impression that I think it's easy to leave home, to renounce, because I don't. I understand it's very difficult. And the method, how one leaves home, by performing austerities, that's also something that's a little frightening. I have some friends here in Sri Vrindavan, Diskarti, that are doing a particular type of austerity that they invited me to go with them on. They're doing Dandavat Parikrama of Govardhan. Now when they said, why don't you come along, I said, no. That's too austere for me. I'm not going to do something like that. I mean, certainly not voluntarily am I going to do something like that. So I understand that penances, austerities are also not something that is easily done or something to be taken lightly. These are very serious things, and they're difficult things. They're hard. It's hard. But the example of the Prachetas gives us some encouragement in that regard. And this is why we study Srimad Bhagavatam, why we study the scriptures. We hear the activities of the great devotees. Because by their example, we can take encouragement. We can take encouragement of those who have walked before us on the path back to Godhead. And those are recorded in the Puranas particularly. So we study Srimad Bhagavatam to get inspiration. So the Prachetas give us some inspiration. They underwent austerities as well. Now, there were how many Prachetas? How many Prachetas? 10. Is that right? 10? 10 Prachetas. 10 sons of Vachini Bharaja. Well, 10 people doing penances and austerities makes it easier, doesn't it? Just like my friends, there's not one of them doing Govardhan Parikrama, but there's about 5 or 6 of them. And they take encouragement from each other. Well, we can do this as a group. If you're doing, I can do. This is one of the principles of brahmachari life that's so wonderful, is that group of brahmacharis, they do penances, austerities together. They take encouragement from one another. And this was the situation with the Prachetas. Prachetas is described in the previous chapter that together they pleased the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Together, all of them, together. They helped each other, they encouraged each other, they shared the workload. All these things helped them together please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we can take encouragement from that. during the centennial, Srila Prabhupada's centennial, which we celebrated several years ago now, there was a slogan that was used by the devotees, referring to the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come for all of us to work together, worship together in the Sankirtan movement. And if all of us, either all of us go back to Godhead or none of us go back to Godhead, something like that, indicating that we're dependent upon each other. And if we all work together cooperatively, then we'll all go back to Godhead together. So this principle of working together toward the goal is something that we learn from the Pachaitas. Unity of purpose is another thing that's shown by the Pachaitas. They had one goal, not many goals. And by working together with that unity, they created what they call in the business world today, synergy. You understand, synergy. Synergy means more than the sum of the parts. When everyone works together, it becomes more powerful than the individual strength of everyone involved. So the Pachaitas also took advantage of this, and they were able to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead by this unity of purpose. But we shouldn't misunderstand about the activities of the Pachaitas that these were type of material formulas that they used to please the Supreme Lord. Actually, when the Lord appeared before them, he praised them and he said, "I'm very pleased by your friendly dealings with one another." Now, there are a lot of Vedic scriptures which talk about friendly dealings among each other. For instance, a lot of the Niti Shastras, they talk about the value of friendship. Hitopadesh. Hitopadesh was written by this Vishnu Sharma, and his idea was to prepare the sons of a king for ruling the kingdom. And so the necessity of friendly relationships is part of the instruction. So we'll find many of these shastras, Niti shastras, other secondary shastras, which promote these ideas of working together, the necessity of friendship and everything like that. But we shouldn't misunderstand why this instruction or praise by the Supreme Lord about the friendship, the cooperative relationships of the Pachaitas is in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is a different creation. It's not something meant simply for creating material formulas for success in this world. No. Dharma prochita kaita gotra paramo nitmat nimatsaranam satam. It's meant to re-spiritualize society on the basis of understanding the spirit soul and how the spirit soul relates to other spirit souls, how all the spirit souls relate to the supreme spirit soul, Sri Krishna. This is the purpose of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And this is the difference in the instruction about friendly relationships between the Pachaitas. The difference between a sort of a sub-religious principles, prana or niti shastra, something that emphasizes friendship there. Now, this is meant to show the cooperation that we find in the spiritual world. And the spiritual world is characterized by and I think it was Radhana Swami was speaking on this last night about how one can appreciate and serve other devotees and help them in their service to Krishna, as opposed to me being the center and what I get out of friendship or some kind of compatible relationships materially. Spiritual world is about how to recognize, praise, facilitate others, not ourselves. And so this is the principle that we should take from the cooperation of the Pachakas. It's not a material thing. There's no material formula. We have to look at it with a spiritual vision, Divya Drishti. If we see with Divya Drishti, then our whole conception changes. I was speaking about the difficulties that are involved in leaving home. The difficulties, the reluctance we may have to perform austerities and penances. That may be true if we're looking at it with material points of view. But if we look at it with spiritual vision, with a Divya Drishti, with spiritual eyesight, then it looks different. Then it looks different. To take the instruction in this purport today, Prabhupada says uses very strong language here. He says that hitvatma patam riham andagupan, to finish the materialistic way of life, which is the so-called comfortable home life, which is simply a means for killing the soul. The home is considered to be a dark well covered by grass. If one falls within this well, he simply dies without anyone caring. Very strong language. Especially if we're seeing it with material vision. If we're trying to understand it and justify it by some material formulas of morality, we'll not understand it in that way. But if we understand it from the viewpoint of spiritual vision, then we can see what Prabhupada is doing. He's showing us the path. He's showing us how we can progress steadily with purpose and determination in our lives. It becomes an encouraging statement rather than one which is fearful, one that we may be hesitant to undertake. This is the value of raising one's consciousness. If one goes through the Vedic civilization, as Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport here, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyas, as one progresses in life through these various ashrams, one's vision becomes spiritualized, one's consciousness becomes purified, and then when it comes to leaving home, like the Pachakas are doing, then it doesn't become that frightful experience that we materially conceive it to be. It becomes the way to lead a determined life of spiritual fulfillment. And so, this is all what we learn from the Pachakas. Why they left home, how they left home, what was the consciousness that they had, what they hoped to achieve by doing that. All these things become clear if we take the path of, and it's a gradual path. Different stages of life are there. We go through them one after another, gathering our spiritual intelligence, gathering our determination in our heart, and we can come to conclusion, perfect conclusion at end, and we can leave home just like the Pachakas. and we can grasp Krishna consciousness, we can understand God. All these things are available to us if we take the path chalked out by Srila Prabhupada. So these are some thoughts on the Prachetas leaving home as described in this verse. Are there any comments or questions? Maybe some of the God brothers have some comments they can make. Yes, sir.
Class. I had a doubt. In the beginning you made it very clear in the class that the more important is the purpose, why we have to leave the house. If you come and leave the house, but if you have a different motive, then you might create a house over here. Okay? So on one side that concept is very clear. On other side, it is very clearly mentioned, and it is, as you said very clearly, that to leave the house is always going to be difficult. Prabhupada himself also said that way. To leave the house is also, on one side, leaving house is difficult. Other side, we know it, that if we leave the house and have a, not a proper purpose, or our consciousness is not clear, then we will not make any spiritual advancement at all. So what a devotee has to do to make a very clear conception, because sometimes we feel it, that no, I don't want to leave the house because my purpose is not clear. On that thinking, that as an advantage or that as an excuse, we try to protect ourselves and don't do the austerity of renouncing it. So can you just tell us what is the way out of it by which we don't become lazy or we don't become negligent in our Krishna consciousness and make our Krishna consciousness very focused and finish our business?
Daily practice is how we can achieve anything. Srila Prabhupada talked about how he wrote so many books. People are amazed, especially scholars are amazed. They see Prabhupada wrote so many books. He wrote so many books and said, how is it possible? He said it was possible because little drops of water wear away the stone. So by daily practice, by regularly executing the order of the spiritual master on a daily basis, one's determination builds, one's spiritual knowledge builds, one's spiritual strength builds, so that one has a clear purpose. You know that now it's time for me to do this, 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 and that. Spiritual life, we're assisted in so many ways in our spiritual life. First of all, the Guru is there. He's giving us instruction what to do. That's why I mentioned Srila Prabhupada. He's walking there. Go and see how he's walking with purpose. That gives us inspiration to take purpose. The Shastra, studying the Shastra, we read examples of how others, they're also thinking, oh, how could I leave? But then they left, they got the determination to go. Dhritarashtra comes to mind. He was there. Who came? His brother came. Why are you staying here? Why are you staying here? You know, like a kept dog. Get out. And so he realized, oh, by that strong language, he realized, oh, I should go. But cultivation is how we can achieve anything. Steady practice day by day. That's what the Varnashram system is about. Prabhupada mentions here, brahmachari life. That training from the beginning. We may have trouble, so am I going to give my son that same trouble? 60 years from now, my son is going to be wondering, how can I leave home? No, I'm going to give him training right now, when he's young, so that he won't have that difficulty when he becomes there. I may have that difficulty, but I'm not going to pass that on to him. So gradual practice, that's what the Brahmacharya or Hastamana Prast system instills in us.
I have another doubt. I understand it's daily practice that is more important. As Bhagavatam also said, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. But in a household life, there's always a distraction. We have to maintain our household life at the same time, maintain our Krishna consciousness also. So how to see to it that at daily practice, as and when our age increases in household life, that daily practice always becomes a focus and all other things becomes a secondary.
Okay, that's answered by Prabhupada in a purport here.
If you recall the regular purport, Al Pacino Barbershop didn't wait for his sons to return. He didn't wait for them to return. When it was ripe, when Krishna consciousness was ripe, he left. And Prabhupada makes a very interesting point here in that section. He says that Pacini's Barbershop is waiting for his sons, for the arrival of his sons. Following the instructions in order, as soon as his intelligence was properly developed, he left home. No. The point is that we'll never complete material duties. That's the point. We think that we can complete everything, but that never happens. It's never going to be materially the right time to do it. Oh, this daughter has to get married. Well, that one, this daughter's having problems there. You know, how can I leave? So many things will be there. Don't depend on sewing up all those ends and then you can leave peacefully out the door. It won't happen. What will happen is Krishna consciousness will become ripe and the time will become apparent. And we'll take it if we are following the path sincerely. We'll take it. We'll never complete material duties.
That doesn't happen. Yes, sir. Thank you, Prabhu. Wonderful class. One doubt I have, you mentioned, if I'm inviting to join the Dandavat Parikrama for Govardhan. So my question is, I've heard a term called spiritual sanctification. In all spiritual matters, the instruction of the spiritual master should be supreme. So my question is, we see the mood living in Radha Kund or 64 rounds or Dandavat Parikramas. Are these all Sanchimashila Prabhupada or these are like our own concoctions? Please clarify.
Well, I think there is scriptural basis for Dandavat Parikrama or Govardhan. Let's set that aside as a specific thing. But obviously, the order of the spiritual master, the order of the spiritual master is the path that has been chalked out for us. Prabhupada, as he came to America, he saw us. He came back to India, he saw you. And he chalked out a path, what you should do, what we should do. Obviously that is the most important thing that we should do in our life, because Guru Parashara, that's the first principle. Take shelter of the Guru and follow his instructions. What good will concocting this and that do? Even Prabhupada said about preaching, about you should just distribute his books, you know. He said, what your 2-3 minute speech will do. Give them a book, then they'll get benefit. So obviously that's the priority of our life. That is our life.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you so much for this wonderful class. Regarding leaving home, if you think we can, I will understand, please clarify. Several times we have heard from other devotees that as long as Krishna consciousness is being practiced in the house sincerely, a male doesn't have to leave the house. I have heard that several times. Because currently there is no vana, there is no forest, so for vana prashta. So as long as they stay in the house. Prabhupada has made it very, very clear in this text, which I totally agree with. And Prabhupada set up an example himself by assigning the wife's responsibility under the children, and then he further his progress by teaching to us, by sharing his consciousness to us. So can you please clarify that if someone is staying in the household and continuously practicing until he closed his chapter, which is finished, is that considered part of Vanaprastha in this Kali Yuga that we are living in?
Well, I think the important thing is the consciousness. And that's what we were stressing when we said, Pracheta's left home, he asked, why? What was the consciousness? So if one is staying in the home, one's not necessarily leaving, one can still leave in the consciousness. Consciousness means that one is dedicating one's life 100% to Krishna, minimizing as much as possible any distractions from that 100% concentration on Krishna. And that can be done in the home if the consciousness is correct. But if that home becomes unfavorable to the consciousness, that's the issue. When does it become unfavorable to the consciousness that one actually leaves the home? And Prabhupada advocates here that one should leave the home. When the children are grown, the man should leave home and search for Krishna consciousness. In this way, one should make one's life perfect by going back to the kingdom of God. So yes, prematurely leaving the home is not as good as staying in the home and cultivating the right consciousness. So we're not advocating irresponsibility. And that's why I tried to say at the end about this Divya Drishti. If we get the spiritual vision, then we can understand that it's not just a type of rejection that's part like bhogatya. It's not, oh, I'm just disgusted with this, therefore I'm leaving. No, it's that one can see and one is inspired. I can see the path. I can see the path before me, and therefore I take it. So it's a matter of developing the right consciousness. That is the most important thing before we start acting in ways which may cause disturbance in society.
Thank you so much.
But please keep in mind, in response to this last question, that material nature is such that we can never really tie it up. And if we think we can, as long as we're thinking like that, then that may become an impediment. This gentleman had a question here. Thank you, last week.
I got the answer to this question. That's why you answered. One question I have is, when our consciousness is proper, where is the dichotomy that this is material and spiritual? Everything is spiritual. Then in such case, how does it matter whether we are at home or temple or forest?
That's Krishna's decision. If he's advising you, come on. He may have greater plans for you. Just like Srila Prabhupada. He had Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the entire parampara, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Sri Krishna, they had a bigger plan for him. He was preaching at home. His consciousness was in the right place. But still, come on. We have a bigger plan for you. Go and preach to the whole world. You'll not be the loser. What did he say? He felt of himself, I have not been the loser. I had 1, 2, 3 sons, and now I've got thousands of sons. One will not be the loser. So we have to understand what Krishna's plan is also. And that may involve things which we have to be prepared to accept.
That will be revealed by the spiritual master?
Yes. God brothers also, but in the right people.
Excellent class. What I'm about to say is not in any way contradiction to your very nice explanations. But as I am a guest who is leaving soon, let me be a little bit of a contrarian. We have the example of Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, who said his whole house was transformed into Vaikuntha. And yet we find at the end of life, he left home. It is part of our tradition. We should not No doubt. Don't disturb things wherever you are. Remember Krishna. Never forget Krishna. Fine, great. But it is our tradition. We see throughout great examples throughout the Bhagavatam of leaving home. That austerity, that separateness away from house, that standing alone solely depending on Krishna, is an essential part of ending up one's life. I just thought I would toss in that.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hi, just one very short comment. This question about whether sannyas is mandatory or not came up one time when we were here in Vrindavan with Prabhupada in 1976. So I asked him whilst I was giving him his massage one day, is it compulsory that after 50 or at some point, then the husband has to leave home and take sannyas? And Prabhupada said, no, if the husband and wife are actually Krishna conscious, then there's no need.
Okay.
Prabhupada also said, I heard him say in Los Angeles, 50 by force. And then when someone said, well, what if after 50? Prabhupada said, better late than never.
Give it to somebody else.
Are you sorry you haven't
reached it? As you stated, nuanced, you know, we're always in the black and white, easy answer, you know, solve all my problems. But you've answered very intelligently. Time, place, circumstances, Krishna moves one, you know, as one said, you know, all those things are different. Mm-hmm. Problems are like a fingernail. You cut it at the right length, you don't feel anything. You cut it too soon, it's painful. So all right time and place.
We also see the examples of many of Mahaprabhu's associates, like Srivas Thakur, Advaita Acharya, Bhavananda Rai. There was never any descriptions that they took sannyas at the end of their life. They always learn to be creations, but purely devotees, of course. So this whole idea of taking sannyas, not taking sannyas, is not relevant. Ultimately, those great personalities, they are known as creations, but they were paramahansas. Like in one in the book, Bhaktivinoda Bani Bhagavad, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was being asked that, who are the paramahansas? He said, among the sannyasis, there are many paramahansas who are sannyasis, and there are also many paramahansas who are grihasthas. So,
well, I mean, we could go back and forth, but I think that no one can deny that one's consciousness has to be fully developed in Krishna consciousness, and that means there's going to be the type of detachment which is shown externally by a sannyasi, no matter what circumstances one is in. And so that consciousness of sannyas, that detachment from anything and everything material, is essential that we have to attain that, whether we leave home or not. I mean,
you've given the right answer.
All right, sir.
Just the last comment. Prabhupada also told me one time in Mayapur, when he just had an argument with his sister and ordered her to leave Mayapur and go back to Calcutta, and after she went out in tears, I was sitting in the room through the whole thing, and Prabhupada just burst out laughing. And then he said, I could have done the same thing as a grihastha. He said, but I took sannyas on account of this. He said that she thinks I'm her brother. He said, so for this family business, he said, I took sannyas. Otherwise, I could have done all the same things without it. So that's another factor, that one may be himself very qualified, a paramahamsa, but maybe the people that are in the situation that he's living in, they're not, and that may hamper the effort, you know, for spreading Krishna consciousness. So
that's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, isn't it?
Yes, that's Prabhupada said that. He said Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas because of his business, family business.
All right, so I'm sure Prabhupada's stable. We can end there.